Welcome. I'd like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I do have a love for the Lord because he saved me from my sins. He gave me a remission of my sins. He gives me the opportunity every day to repent of my sins if I do sin. And I have a great love for the Book of Mormon. I mentioned this recently, that I was in college at Graceland University, and some friends had invited me to go to a party, and I felt within me the Holy Spirit say no, tell me to say no. And so I did, and I felt that so strongly, and I knew that it was God speaking to me, that I knelt by my bed and I asked God, what do you want me to do? And he told me to read the Book of Mormon. And in that year, I read the Book of Mormon, and I learned of the grace of God as I read through those pages, as I read through Alma, and then Alma's son, and then the sons of Mosiah, who were all bad people, until God got a hold of them and made changes in their life and reached out to them with that great love that he has for each one of us. And even Nephi himself recognizes how bad he was. But I'm going to talk about Nephi tonight. I've entitled this sermon, A Look at Nephi's Faith in Christ. So we're going to be reading a lot in the Book of Mormon. We're going to be reading just about that. I've also subtitled this A Journey Through 1st and 2nd Nephi. So let's begin in 1st Book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 1, to give us kind of an introduction. And maybe there's someone online. Welcome all of you online. Maybe there's someone online or someone in this room, I don't know, who needs a small introduction or a brief introduction to the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is a history of the descendants of Joseph through Joseph's son Manasseh. And it starts out Lehi and his family lived in Jerusalem. He'd lived there all the days of his life. In about the time of 600 BC, and he began to hear prophets prophesy against Israel, against the Jews, against the southern kingdom, that they would be taken captive into Babylon because they refused to repent of their sins. And so Lehi began to pray and to go to God about that. He heard from these prophets and he went to God, and God told him to prophesy as well. So I'm going to start in verse 1. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father, and having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless having been highly favored of the Lord in all my days. That word sticks out to me, highly favored, because I know in Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word grace is appropriately the unmerited love and favor of God. And so when Nephi says he's been highly favored of the Lord in all of his days, do you know that we are all highly favored of the Lord? That he's poured out his grace upon each one of us, and it's our opportunity to believe him, to believe his words, to believe that he loves us and that he wants the best for us. So So he says that he would have been highly favored in all of his days, yea, having had great knowledge of the goodness and the mysteries of God. Therefore, I make a record of my proceedings in my days. Yea, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. So this record... So he makes a record, and he said because he's had a great knowledge of the goodness and the mysteries of God, and we're going to read about some of those mysteries, some of those visions that he had, or a vision that he had, and some of those prophecies that he'd been given. So he decided to write this stuff down, and later we'll find out it was because he wanted his children to know and his children's children to know, so that they would know about this great God that loves each one of us. So Nephi left with his family, and they left all their valuables, and they did that because God told them to. God told Lehi to take his family and go into the wilderness and leave all their gold and silver and all these things behind. And then while they were in the wilderness, he told Lehi, send your sons back and go to the house of Laban and get these plates, because you'll need them. And because without them, your children and your children's children won't have this faith. So they did. You know, I'm not going to go into all that trial and how God overcame and all that, but they did, and they got these plates, and these plates contained the five books of Moses. And they contained the prophets, some of the prophets up till that time period of the 600 BC, but they also contain prophets that aren't in the Bible, those who were prophets to the house of Joseph, Zenas and Zenoch, who also had prophecies of Christ. So Lehi, while he was in the... After they came back with the plates, while he was... And he'd read the plates. He had this vision. And in the vision, he saw many things. Today, I'm going to focus just on the tree that he saw. And Nephi believed him. Believed that his father had this vision. And this vision was given to him by God. And that Lehi had seen the Savior. And so Nephi asked God, or he desired of God to be able to see the same thing his father saw. But I'm going to read first Nephi chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. Yea, 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem, a prophet. And, doesn't look like I'm starting in a good place. Let me start in 1. And now I, Nephi, proceed to give an account upon these plates of my proceedings and my reign and my ministry. Wherefore, to proceed with mine account, I must speak somewhat of the things of my father and also of my brethren. For behold, it came to pass that after my father had made an end of speaking the words of his dream and also of exhorting them to all diligence, he spake unto them concerning the Jews, and how that after they should be destroyed, even that great city Jerusalem, and that many many be carried away captive into Babylon, that according to the own due time of the Lord, they should return again, yea, even be brought back out of captivity. And after they should be brought back out of captivity to possess again the land of their inheritance, yea, even 600 years from that time, from the time that my father left Jerusalem a prophet, would the Lord God raise up among the Jews, yea, even a Messiah, or in other words, a Savior of the world. And he also spake concerning the prophets, how great a number had testified of these things concerning this Messiah of which he had spoken, or this Redeemer of the world. Wherefore all mankind were in a lost and a fallen state, and ever would be, save they should rely on this Redeemer. And he spake also concerning a prophet, which should come before the Messiah to prepare the way of the Lord, that being John the Baptist. Yea, even he should go forth and cry in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. For there standeth one among you, whom ye know not, and he is mightier than I, whose shoes latchet, I am not worthy to unloose. And much spake my father concerning this thing, and my father saith that he should baptize in Bethabara beyond Jordan. And he also spake that he should baptize with water, yea, even that he should baptize the Messiah with water. And after that he had been baptized, had baptized the Messiah with water, he should behold and bear record that he had baptized the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And it came to pass that my father had spoken these words. He spake unto my brethren concerning the gospel which should be preached among the Jews, and also concerning the dwindling of the Jews in unbelief. And after that they had slain the Messiah which should come, and after that he had been slain, he should rise from the dead and should make himself manifest by the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles. So at this time, Lehi had seen these things, and he spoke them to his children. You know, what an amazing thing that, you know, some 600 years before Christ, God had spoke to a man, Lehi, and told him these things would happen, and that there would be a Savior and would make these things clear, that he would die and he would be raised from the dead, and he'd be a living God, and that we could have a hope in him for a Savior from our sins. So Nephi wanted to know more about this. He believed in this Son of God, and he wanted to know more about it. And so Nephi exercised great faith in the Lord, desiring to see what his father saw. And let's turn now to verse 23, next page, And it came to pass that I, Nephi, having heard all the words of my father concerning the things which he saw in a vision, and also the things which he spake by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power he received by faith on the Son of God. The Son of God was the Messiah which should come. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. So Nephi had already been given that knowledge of the gospel to repent and to come unto Christ. Verse 29, for he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old. God does not change. If you seek him today, he'll give you the same knowledge he gave to Nephi in that day. He loves for his children to seek him. Verse 31. And as well in times of old as in times to come, wherefore the course of the Lord is one eternal round. Therefore, remember, O man, for all thy doings thou shalt be brought into judgment. Wherefore, if ye have sought to do wickedly in the days of your probation, in this life, if you've sought and desired to do wickedly, then are ye found unclean before the judgment seat of God. And no unclean thing can dwell with God, wherefore ye must be cast off forever. And the Holy Ghost giveth authority that I should speak these things and deny them not. For it came to pass that after I had desired to know the things that my father had seen, and believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto me, wherefore, as I sat pondering in my heart, I was caught away in the spirit of the Lord, yea, in an exceeding high mountain, which I had never seen before, and upon which I never had before set my foot. And the Spirit saith unto me, Behold, what desirest thou? And I saith, I desire to behold the things which my father saw. And the Spirit saith unto me, Believest thou that thy father saw the tree of which I have spoken? And I'm going to be focusing on that tree and the significance of that. And I said, Yea, thou knowest that I believe in all the words of my father. And when I had spoken these words, the Spirit cried with a loud voice, saying, Hosanna to the Lord, the Most High God, for he is God over all the earth, yea, even above all. And blessed art thou, Nephi, because thou believest in the Son of the Most High God. Wherefore, thou shalt behold the things which thou hast desired. Because he believed that his father saw those things, and he believed that God could show them to him too. Not that he was worthy, but that God in his great love, who wants us to ask for good things, he believed he could show him that those same things that he desired to see. And verse 45. And behold, this thing shall be given unto thee for a sign, that after thou hast beheld the tree which bore the fruit which thy father tasted, thou shalt also behold a man descending out of heaven, and him shall ye witness, and after that ye shall have witnessed him, ye shall bear record that it is the Son of God. So I want to go back and read a little bit about this tree which bore the fruit which his father tasted. And to do that, we will go back to 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 48. 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 48. And this is in the middle of this dream vision. In one place he calls it a vision, in another place he calls it a dream. I've even heard people say they don't know if it was a vision or a dream because they don't know if they were awake or asleep. But what's important is that God gave him what he saw. And so Lehi is speaking here. Verse First book of Nephi, chapter 2, verse 48. And it came to pass that after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I have ever before had ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. Or in other words, the pureness. It was pure white. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. So, now I want to go to Psalm. These will be the only two verses that I think I will be reading out of the Bible today. Psalm 34, verse 8, because he's talking about this fruit that was most sweet above all that he had ever tasted. And so we're going to Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So there's one verse. And then the other scripture, I should say, I'm going to read is in Galatians 5, verses 16, 22, and 23. Galatians 5. Verse 16, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I think it's significant that that is the first description of that fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are descriptions also of charity, that pure love of Christ. Anyway, the tree, we will find out, is that love of God, that love of Christ. And it's important because that's the cause that gives us the effect of wanting to love him back. We love him because he first loved us. And we love our neighbor or our enemy as ourselves because he first loved us. And so I need to go back to here that to this first book of Nephi. Chapter 3, I stopped at 45. I want to read at 46 before we go on in that chapter. So Actually, I'm going to read 45 again. And behold, this thing shall be given unto thee for a sign, that after thou hast beheld the tree which bore the fruit which thy father tasted, thou shalt also behold a man descending out of heaven, and him shall ye witness, and after that ye shall have witnessed him, ye shall bear record that it is the Son of God. And I think that's significant here, that he's God's telling him through this angel, or the Spirit, God is telling him, that he's going to see this tree, and then the Son of God is going to be revealed to him, because it is his love that tree represents, the love of God, the pure love of Christ. Okay, verse 46. And it came to pass that the Spirit saith unto me, look, and I looked and beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen, and the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding of all beauty, and whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. And so once again, this beautiful tree and beautiful fruit that this tree bore. And you think about the love of Christ, you know, it does that. His love is that tree, and the fruit, when we taste it and we walk in it, we bear that fruit, that same fruit of that same tree, because it's his love. Okay, let's go on to verse 59. And it came to pass that I beheld... Okay, so let me explain. So he saw this tree, and then it goes into him seeing Mary. Nephi sees Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then it comes to Nephi seeing him. And that's in verse 59. Comes to him... Nephi seeing Jesus. And it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the spirit, and after that she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of time, the angel spake unto me, saying, look. And I looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing the child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, behold the Lamb of God, yea, even the Eternal Father. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God. There it is. The tree is the love of God. Yea, it is the love of God which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. And so that's how this whole journey begins with Christ. It's how it began with Nephi. It begins with all of us, with the love of God being shed in our hearts. We find out about him. What we hear from somebody else telling us or from the Word of God is that it rings real for us in our hearts. So we want to know more about him. So we start reading his Word, and we start talking to God, asking him to help us to understand. And he answers us because he's good like that. And so the love of God, which sheddeth itself, verse 64, abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore it is most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and most joyous to the soul. And truly his love is most joyous to our soul when we feast, when we let it in and we feast on it. Verse 66, and after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men, and I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. As we're reading this, and as we're reading through all these things that he saw about Jesus, imagine that he saw this 600 years, some 600 years before Christ came. And this was the building blocks of the faith of all his descendants afterwards. And so they had the plates, and then they had these experiences to stand on. And so that's how this seed, these descendants of Joseph on this land were preserved by his word and by the faith of those who'd gone before them. Let's see. Anybody know where I left off? 66. Thank you, Mateo. Mateo helps me. He helped me in New York, too. And after that, he had said these words, he said unto me, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men, and I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld that rod of iron, which my father had seen, which was the word of God. So his father saw, there was the mists of darkness, and that those mists of darkness were the temptations of the world. And yet there was this path, and there was this rod of iron that helped them along the path, and if they cleaved to it, and that was the word of God, if they cleaved to it, they wouldn't be lost in the mists of darkness or the temptations. So that tells you and I, to help us resist our temptations, we need to cling to the word of God. (clears throat) 68. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron which my father had seen, and was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. So the love of God is the tree, and it's also the fountain of living waters. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me, look and behold the condescension of God. And I looked and beheld the Redeemer of the world, of which my father had spoken. And I also beheld the prophet which should prepare the way before him. And the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after that he was baptized, I beheld that the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost come down out of heaven and abode upon him in the form of a dove. And I beheld that he went forth ministering unto the people in power and great glory, and the multitudes were gathered together to hear him. And I beheld that they cast him out from among them. And of course, what he's seeing here is what happened, truly happened, 600 years later, when Jesus came in the flesh and when he was despised and rejected of his own people, the Jews. Verse 78, and I also beheld 12 others following him. And it came to pass that they were carried away in the spirit from before my face, and I saw them not. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, look, and I looked, and I beheld the heavens opened again, and I saw angels descending upon the children of men, and they did minister unto them. And he spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Lamb of God going forth among the children of men. And I beheld multitudes of people which were sick, and which were afflicted with all manner of diseases, and with devils and unclean spirits. And the angel spake and shewed all these things unto me. And they were healed by the power of the Lamb of God, and the devils and the unclean spirits were cast out. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me again, saying, look, and I looked, and I beheld the Lamb of God, that he was taken by the people. Yea, the everlasting God was judged of the world, and I saw and bear record. And I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted up upon the cross and slain for the sins of the world. And so Nephi saw Christ walk on this earth. and all that he did, and at last that he gave himself an offering for sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice. He was the high priest who offered up himself as an eternal sacrifice for our sins, the last high priest. There was no need for a high priest anymore after him. Lehi spoke to his sons before he died. So we're going now into second book of Nephi. We're going to start out, you can go there, we're 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 24. So, Nephi has this powerful experience, powerful vision of Jesus Christ and what he would do, and he gained great faith in him through this experience. And then in second book of Nephi, before Lehi's death, he speaks to his sons and he prophesies of what would happen to their descendants. And then he dies. And so 2 Nephi chapter 3. So this is just after his death. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 24. On page 92 of the Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that not many days after his death, Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael were angry with me because of the admonitions of the Lord. Because Nephi allowed God to use him. God wanted to save Laman and Lemuel. They kept rebelling against God, but Nephi kept admonishing them. So they were angry with Nephi. Verse 25. For I, Nephi, was constrained to speak unto them according to the word, for I had spoken many things unto them, and also my father before his death, many of which sayings are written upon mine other plates, for a more history part of are written upon my other plates, and upon these plates I write the things of my soul. So these things that you and I have in the Book of Mormon are the things that were important to Nephi's soul. And that got passed down through those who received the plates. They would write the things that are important to the soul, those things that are important to their faith in Christ. And upon these I write the things of my soul, and many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. There it is. So these things that he wrote that we have were for the profit of his children and his children's children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in shewing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. My heart sorroweth because of my flesh. So here we see another side of Nephi that we really haven't seen previously. This recognition of the absolute evil nature that we have without God. And his temptations and even his iniquities that he commits. And this is all part of his faith. This is all part of, there's some place in the scripture that says if we don't know the bitter, we won't know the sweet. And it takes our sin to recognize we need a Savior. And this chapter really speaks to me of this. So in the second part of that verse 31, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. And that's what I want each one to hear to remember, is that even Nephi sinned, and later on he says, committed iniquity. But an iniquity is that knowledge that you know it's wrong and you do it anyway. He says here, my heart groaneth because of my sins, nevertheless, even though I know in whom I have trusted. He knows that he can repent and that God wants him to repent and turn back to him and get back up and trust in him again. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. And he's telling all the reasons why he should trust, because God's done this, and we can do that in our lives. We can remember those times when we were afflicted, we were hurt, we were down, we were depressed, and God lifted us up. And that's what he's doing here. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep, 36. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh, even unto the submitting my flesh. In one of the parts we didn't read in Galatians, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he's saying here, he hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. When we walk in that love, when in his Spirit, he consumes our flesh. He beats it. He burns it. You know, he takes away those desires. He hath confounded mine enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And by day I have waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his Spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. Remember in that vision that he saw, he said he was taken up to a mountain that he'd never seen before. So in this time of depression that I believe he was depressed here, because because he knows his wretchedness and his sins. And yet, what's he doing? And we should all remember this. He's going back to what God has done for him previously. And mine eyes have beheld great, 41. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? So, when we get down and depressed, we need to remember God, whether it's from our own sins or whether it's from somebody else who's done something to us. We should remember God and his greatness and his willingness to respond when we cry out to him. 43. And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, and I may be strict in the road, in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldest clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, I will trust in thee forever. There you can see his trust and his faith being strengthened there. He's ready again to trust in God forever. 62, I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, O my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. So, after this, Nephi tells his brother to preach. As I'm going forward to chapter 6, verse 44. Nephi tells his brother Jacob to preach on Isaiah. And so Jacob does. I think it's in chapters 5, 6, and 7. So these chapters 5, 6, and 7 are all Jacob speaking. And at this point, in Second Book of Nephi, chapter 6, verses 44 through 49. Second Nephi, chapter 6, verses 44 through 49. And this is what it says. Oh, how great the holiness of our God. And this is once again about Jesus. And he's prophesying of Jesus. Jacob is here. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. God knows everything. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men. That was his will. He willed that all might be saved, if they will hearken unto his voice. And that... That's the important thing. We have to listen to him. We have to do what he said. That is hearkening unto his voice. Believing him. Believing what he said. And seeking him to help us do it. Okay. What verse was I in? Thank you. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and the children, which belong to the family of Adam. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might come to pass on all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. So there will be a day where all of us will be raised to that he will judge us of our works. Verse 48, and he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. So this is plain. He commands all men. This is something that they gave, that God gave them understanding of, clear back here with Jacob. And he commandeth all, Jesus commanded, God commands all men that they must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, Jesus, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And that's a commandment. And it says in 49, if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. And of course, when Jesus came, he gave this commandment. And when he gave the Great Commission, sent his apostles out, he told them that. Okay, Okay, now I want to turn to, this is still Jacob, chapter 7, second book of Nephi, chapter 7, verse 40. So God's given, or God has given this commandment to all men. It's to everyone. Verse 40, therefore cheer up your heart. Cheer up your hearts because we have an opportunity to be saved. Therefore cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of eternal death or the way of eternal life. We're free to make that choice. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God. In other words, remember, he wills that all might be saved. Reconcile yourselves to that will and do what he said and trust in him. Have faith in him that he is able to do that for you. And not to the will of the devil in the flesh. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, when ye have repented and been baptized and had faith on him, and you walk in faith and endured through life to by that faith to the end. As you're enduring, and remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that you are saved. We can't earn it. Even our good works are his. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everything, all the glory goes to him, because it all begins and continues and is maintained and ends with his love. that unmerited love. We weren't worthy of it, but he loved us anyway and sent his son to pay that price for our sins. So, and remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only, that word only is exclusive, in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. It doesn't mean works aren't required. That's the fruit. That's that beautiful fruit, that love of God in us. What did Jesus say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. He loved us, and we love him. And therefore, we follow him. We follow his example. We walk in his love. We walk in his spirit. Wherefore, verse 43, wherefore may God raise you from death by the power of the resurrection, and also from everlasting death by the power of the atonement, that ye may be received into the eternal kingdom of God, that ye may praise him through grace divine. Amen. And I'm going to end there. Praise be to God for his goodness, his love towards us, that even though we weren't worthy, he loved us anyway. He sent his son who died on the cross for, first of all, he was tempted in all, he being holy was tempted with those things we're tempted with so that he could help us when we're tempted. What amazing love that he has for us. And we should walk in that love. God bless you all.